Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC and get 2 free months of premium membership. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, and the book Herding Tigers, which is about how to create an environment in which the creative process thrives, especially if you're responsible for leading a team of creative professionals. And here on the show, we talk about you, we talk about your creative process, we talk about how to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy in life and in work. And sometimes we talk about some of the specific skills that we need to develop in order to be able to thrive in our role as create on demand professionals. If you have ideas, which most of you do, and you have maybe initiatives that you want your organization to take on, or maybe you have to pitch those initiatives to clients, well, listen, ideas are great, but until you're able to share those ideas effectively with other people in some capacity, they're not going to do anyone any good. You know, an idea that sits in your notebook or on your hard drive is not going to create any kind of value in the world unless it's shared with others. And so on today's show, we have Grant Baldwin. Grant is the author of a new book called The Successful Speaker, and he spends a lot of time helping professional speakers figure out how to take their message to market. But a big chunk of our conversation today was about how to craft your message, how to present what you're doing in a manner that's going to be compelling to other people. So Grant and I talk a lot about shaping your message, crafting your message, figuring out how to present your message in such a way that it will be received by others. So even if you're not a professional speaker, which most of us are not, this conversation is going to help you figure out how to get your ideas into the world where they can be of value. So we'll be talking with Grant Baldwin, author of The Successful Speaker, here in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. So it's time to explore new skills, deepen your existing passions, and get lost in creativity with Skillshare's online classes. Maybe 2020 for you is a year where you need to develop some new skills. Maybe this is a year where you need to explore areas of curiosity that you've just been too busy to do before. Well, Skillshare takes away all of the excuses. What you find might just surprise and inspire you. Skillshare is an online learning community where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey, with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics like illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and much, much more. So Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. So the classes on Skillshare are designed for real life, for people who are busy, right? So you can move your creative journey forward without putting your life on the hold. You can learn and grow with short classes that fit your busy routine. And Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when you compare it to the pricey in-person classes that are often offered, you know, or pricey in-person workshops. An annual subscription to Skillshare is less than $10 a month, which is an incredible bargain when you consider all of the skills that you can apply to your life, to your career, that's going to help you get wherever you want to be more quickly and effectively. So I know we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to the show, and I know sometimes as an entrepreneur, as a fellow entrepreneur, I don't know where to turn when I need to learn something, when I need to understand something. Regardless of what the topic is, you know, it's hard to find people who can teach you the skills that you need to know. Well, Skillshare has classes on any number of topics related to entrepreneurship that will help you move your business forward. You know, for example, there's a course called Art of the Start by Guy Kawasaki. You probably know Guy Kawasaki, right? Turning ideas into a high growth business, Entrepreneurship Hustle, from business plan to real success, basically the A to Z of how to turn your idea into a successful business. Or how about this, Bookkeeping for Freelancers, how to handle your finances. Isn't that something that all of us as entrepreneurs need to understand, especially when we're starting the business? These are all courses you can take on Skillshare to help you accomplish your goals. Skillshare is a proud sponsor of the Accidental Creative Podcast, and we're so thankful for their sponsorship. You can explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes, absolutely free. Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/AC. That's skillshare.com/AC. We thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have on the show today, Grant Baldwin. Grant is a longtime friend, associate, someone I've known and followed for a very long time. And he has a new book. It's called The Successful Speaker. And we're going to be talking with him about that today. Grant, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Todd, it's an honor to be here. I have a huge respect for you and appreciate you letting me hang out with you.
Yeah. So I would love to hear a little bit about your background and a little bit about your story. You know, because you didn't come out of the womb as a speaker, as a professional speaker. Was it something right. What was your journey like getting to this point?
Yeah, so if we go way back in time, in high school, I was really involved in my local church, and my youth pastor had a really big impact on my life, and he was a phenomenal speaker, and so it really kind of caught my attention of like, I want to do that. Like, that seems like a cool gig, and so that was kind of the path I was on for a little while. After college, I worked at a local church as a youth pastor, and actually, while I was in college, I worked for a guy who was a professional speaker, and he was doing 60, 70 gigs a year, and I kind of helped on the back end with travel and logistics and contracts and helping book some stuff, and so kind of got to see like, okay, this is actually a thing, you know? And so as a youth pastor, I had a lot of opportunities to speak, felt like I was decent at it, wanted to do more of it, no idea what to do from there. So that started meeting some other speakers who were doing it and just started to, again, more and more realize like, okay, this is like a legit opportunity that exists. You know, it's not just the, you know, this random person in the local town who speaks at a few things here and there. Like, you can actually make a really good living and make a big impact by being a speaker. So I started to pursue that, and over the next, you know, year or two, really went all in on it and went from doing zero gigs. Everyone starts at zero, and to the point where I was doing 60, 70 gigs a year and really, really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And then eventually got to a point where I had a lot of people who were asking me like, hey, I've seen how you've built your business. I want to be a speaker. And for some people, you know, they wanted to do the 60, 70, 100 plus gigs a year. And then there's plenty of people who are like, I don't want to do that many. Like, I have a full-time career. I have a job or a business or a family or whatever that would prevent me from wanting to do that many, but I would, you know, I'd love to do 2, 3, 4, 5 gigs a year. And I just don't know how to find those gigs or what to charge or what to speak about or who books speakers or that whole world. And so that's where we really started to transition to more the training side of working with speakers and teaching them how to find speaking gigs. And that's the core of what we do today.
And that's the Speaker Lab is the name of your business.
Correct. Yeah. Everything we do is over at thespeakerlab.com.
So I know people listening right now, you know, a lot of people listening are leaders of organizations. Maybe they're, you know, a designer on a creative team, or maybe they're an entrepreneur running a business and they're thinking, well, wait a minute, I have no desire to be a speaker. That's not what I, you know, I know you're tempted. Maybe some of you are tempted right now to say, okay, this isn't relevant, but it is relevant. Let me tell you why, because all of us have to present ideas in order to win business, in order to persuade people, in order to, in some capacity, advance our cause. We all have to learn how to do that. And Grant is a master at that, at helping people get to the core of what they want to communicate and then present it effectively. Whether or not you're trying to, get paid for a specific speaking gig. So what I would like to do, Grant, is I would love to talk about this speak acronym. Is it an acronym? What, mm-hmm. what do they call yep. that when it's S-P-E-A? Yeah, it's like, okay.
It's an acronym.
There we go. Okay, good. So let's talk about what that means. So the first step is select a problem to solve. This is the place where you recommend that speakers begin, is by selecting a problem to solve. And so again, whether you're a professional speaker or maybe you're in an organization and you have to present on something, how do you recommend people begin to circle the airport on what the problem is that they're trying to solve?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this is really the foundational piece. And if you get this part right, then everything else in the process becomes a lot simpler and smoother. But for most people, and again, this isn't exclusive to just speakers. This applies in a lot of different ways. And I'll give you some examples in a second. But the idea being that you have to be clear on two things. One, who is it that you speak to? What's the specific person that you're speaking to? And two, what is the specific problem that you solve for that person? And the more specific, the more clear, the more narrow, the more focused you are, the easier it is to find gigs, which is counterintuitive, because oftentimes we assume that the bigger the net is that we can spread, the more services we can offer, the more things we can speak about, the more things we can do, the more hats we can wear, the more opportunities we have. And the reality is the opposite is actually the case. So one of the ways we talk about this is you want to make sure that you are, again, not just as a speaker, but any type of like creative profession, creative service professional, you want to make sure that you are positioning yourself as the steakhouse and not the buffet, as the steakhouse and not the buffet. And what I mean by that is, Todd, let's imagine you and I were going to lunch. We have an option. If we were looking for a good steak, we could go to a buffet where steak is one of 100 different things that they offer, and they're all mediocre. Or we could go to a steakhouse where that's all they do. They don't do lasagna, and they don't do pizza, and they don't do salads or burgers. They don't do anything else. They do steak. They do one thing, and they do it really, really, really well. And again, it's counterintuitive because you think, well, if I'm a buffet, I have more options, and I'm going to draw a bigger crowd. But all of the services that you're providing, all of your offerings there are ultimately going to be pretty mediocre versus the steakhouse who said, we do one thing and we are the best at that. And so that's really what you want to make sure that you're doing, again, not only as a speaker, but any type of creative professional, versus saying like, I do this one thing and I do this really, really well, versus trying to be all things to all people. So that's where speakers have a difficult time. And again, I think entrepreneurs and just creative professionals in general have a hard time of wanting to help as many people as possible. So some speakers would say things like, who do I speak to? Well, I speak to humans. I speak to people. Or, what do you speak about? Well, what do you want me to speak about? I can speak about anything. And the reality is, like, that just doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, by the way, that doesn't mean that you have to just say, I speak about one thing, or if you're a business owner, I only solve one problem, right? One thing I've discovered is that I can speak about a wide array of things, but I have a very specific problem in each of those areas that I solve, right? So
right.
If somebody comes to me and says, hey, we have a leadership issue, I can say, great, I can help you understand how to motivate the people on your team from a leadership capacity. That is something that I'm really good at teaching leaders how to do. That's a problem that I solve, right? Specifically. Or creativity. We're really struggling. I can help your team generate more ideas more efficiently, more effectively, but those are specific problems versus saying, just talking about creativity or talking about leadership or talking about these things. Those are not problems to be solved. Those are topics to be addressed.
Right. Very much so. Remember, you were touching on there, that you are in the problem solving business. And so you have to be providing some type of solution to that. So sometimes, I'll hear speakers who say, I want to tell my story. I have this crazy, overcoming obstacle story that I want to share, or I want to be a motivational speaker and just motivate people. Or, I just want people to be happier. And all those are well-intentioned, but you have to position yourself in a way that you are solving a very specific problem for a specific audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that insight. So the second part of the SPEAK acronym is prepare and deliver your talk. Say that somebody's going in to give a client presentation, right? They're going to go in, they're going to try to pitch business or something like that. Or maybe they are giving a talk for a group. Maybe they're giving at an industry conference or something they've been asked to speak. What are the first steps that you need to take in preparing your talk?
Yeah, you really want to begin with the end in mind and figure out what's the point of the talk and where's the talk going to go. So it's kind of like if you thought about it like a road trip, you wouldn't just get in the car and start driving and hope that you magically end up somewhere that you intended to. You're going to figure out what's the destination, and then we're going to kind of reverse engineer and figure out what's the best possible way to get there. So as an audience, you want to make sure that you pick everybody up at the same spot and that you drop everybody off at the same spot. So you really have to, again, figure out what's the main idea? What's the point that you're trying to communicate? Are you trying to get them to act differently or think differently or feel differently, or what's the action that you want the audience to take? So a way to kind of think about this is, an audience is always asking themselves two questions. And we've done this, you and I have been in audiences, everyone listening has been in audiences before, and we're always asking two questions. So what and now what? So what and now what? So what? How does this apply to me? That's a great story. I'm glad that happened to you. I'm glad that your business is successful. I'm glad that you overcame that crazy obstacle. So what? What does that have to do with me? And now what? That was a nice story. That was interesting. That was inspirational. That was funny. That was whatever the adjective is. Now what? What am I supposed to do as a result of this? So as you're working on your talk, always be thinking through those two questions. So what and now what? Why does this matter to the audience? And what do I want the audience to do as a result of this?
So I've heard varying degrees of passion on both sides of this issue, and I would love to hear your perspective on the idea of scripting a talk before you give it.
Yeah.
Because I've heard some people say, no, absolutely not, it ruins your spontaneity. And other people say, no, absolutely, you must do it in order to really know your material well. So where do you fall on that spectrum?
Yeah, I recommend scripting it, but I don't recommend reciting it as such. And, and what I mean by that, if I were to ask you, Todd, tell me about, you're married, tell me about whenever you proposed to your wife. Like, you could probably tell me that story off the top of your head. But if you said, give me 5 minutes, let me just sit down, I'm really going to think through the details of that. What did we say to each other? Where were we? What was the setting? What was the weather? What was, who did we call immediately? Who did we talk to? What was everyone's reaction? You know, you could probably come up with it and tell a better story because you really took some time to think it through. Yeah. So I like to approach it that way. The thing I would remind people of is whenever you manuscript it out, that again, you're not trying to read that verbatim. Like, it's possible that you know, we've all seen speakers who are so robotic and it just feels like they're in their own head and they're just trying, oh, I forgot my line, I forgot my word. And you're not. You're a human being talking to a collection of other human beings. So you want to speak like that. You don't need to just be reciting something. And so sometimes people worry, like speakers worry, all right, what if I forget, you know, what if I get, if I say something wrong, or if I forget the main idea that I was supposed to use, or if I forget a story or anything like that. Remember, it's like, you know, if we were singing the national anthem right now and you butcher the words, like, everyone knows it. But whenever you are speaking from stage, nobody has a script. Nobody knows where you're going. If you do the points out of order, or if you forget a story, or if you forget a flub, a punchline, nobody knows the difference. So I think that like, take some of the pressure off of yourself. So I recommend that you have a manuscript that you are confident in, that you know, and that you know the essence of it, the idea of it, and that you've thought through details of stories and transitions and the points that you want to make, but you don't feel the need to, I need to recite this verbatim. I think that, again, that is where it becomes way more robotic, and it removes some of that spontaneity that you're talking about. So, because some of the most real, authentic, genuine moments for an audience in terms of connecting with an audience happen when things that just happen off the cuff, or things that happen that you weren't expecting or that you weren't anticipating. And it's just like this raw, real moment that is really, really powerful, not only for the audience, but for the speaker as well. So allow that room for the spontaneity, but what allows you to have the spontaneity is that you're confident in your material and you're comfortable in your material, but it's not a robotic manuscript that you're just reciting.
Yeah. So I had never scripted a talk until this past summer. I was asked to speak at something called the Global Leadership Summit, and it was going to be broadcast to 405,000 people around the world, and there were like 10,000 people in the room for the speech, you know. Yeah. And I had a half hour, like literally a half hour, you know, to do this. Like that's it. That's what you get. And I was really nervous about presenting. I was nervous about getting the material delivered properly, and so I scripted the entire talk. And part of it was they wanted it scripted because it's being translated, you know, into a bunch of languages. But part of it too, I would have done it anyway, because I wanted to make sure that there were certain key points that I hit. And I was sort of thinking about like playing a piece of music, you know, like there are notes that you want to hit or certain high points you want to hit, but there's also room for feel and sway and improvisation. Yes. And things like that in between those key notes. And so I wanted to make sure that I hit the right, like certain phrases. I wanted to boom, I wanted to deliver those absolutely. But the funny thing is, Grant, and the reason I tell this story is the most tweeted quote of the entire talk was something that was spontaneous, that wasn't even in my script. It was, brilliance is forged in the cauldron of creative conflict. That wasn't even in my script. But because I was so comfortable with everything else, my mind was just, you know, wandering and looking for stuff to say, because I wasn't trying to remember what was next. And so that's, you know, like if you're giving a client presentation, if you're whatever, like sit down, think through, here are the points I want to make, but then also think through what are the possible objections that they're going to raise, and how would I address that if they raise this objection or that objection, and actually script that out and know what you want to say. It'll just make you so much more comfortable and spontaneous in the moment, because you're comfortable with all of the material.
Yeah, very much so. And it also just, I think it just gives you a lot more confidence going into it. What you and I would never recommend is for someone to say, well, I'm just going to, you know, a few minutes before I go speak, I'm going to scribble a couple thoughts on a napkin, right, and hopefully it all works out. Like the best speakers on the planet, the best presenters that you've ever seen, they don't just get up there and wing it. Like they spend hours and hours and hours and hours behind the scenes working and preparing and going over things, to the point when they get up there, it looks like they're just speaking off the top of their head. It looks like they're just they're just winging it and shooting from the hip. But the reality is like, again, they've spent so much time to make it look effortless. Yeah. And so really it's, you have to invest that time so that you feel really comfortable and confident on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk about the final letter I want to talk about is establishing your expertise. Mm-hmm. I think this is, a real hurdle for some people, because I think to some people that feels like toot your own horn, right? Or become a quote unquote thought leader, which is a phrase that's very polarizing. You know, culturally polarizing, I think for a lot of reasons. One of them is, you know, there are a lot of people running around claiming that they're thought leaders. And that's, I feel like that's kind of not something you can ascribe to yourself, right? It's like, sure. It's like saying, I am a general in the army. No, you're not, because people aren't following you, you know? So, you know, what does it mean to establish your expertise?
Yeah, this really comes down to your marketing materials. And so creating your website, your demo video, and letting the world know, like, this is the service that you offer. So in the same way that, you know, again, this isn't exclusive to just speakers, but any type of, you know, creative service professional, that just because you're clear on, like, okay, I know who what the problem is that I can solve. I create these amazing logos for realtors. Like, that's great. But if nobody knows you exist, like, you're going to be out of business real quick. So now we have to start to build some momentum by letting people know, like, this is what I do, and this is how I can help, and this is how I can actually solve a problem. And so in this day and age, like, if you don't have a website, you don't exist. Like, people won't take you seriously. And for speakers, a demo video is really important to give some type of idea of what it would be like for you to stand up on stage. Maybe you're a phenomenal speaker, but you're not exactly what an organization or a group is looking for. Or maybe you're a horrible speaker, and an event needs to see that ahead of time to kind of mitigate the risk of whether or not they're going to hire you. So when we talk about establishing yourself as the expert, it's not just, like you said, not just just putting on a hat and saying, yeah, I'm suddenly an overnight expert. It's starting to put together some resources and materials that people can look at and determine if you're a good fit for what it is that they're looking for.
Yeah. And how would you recommend, so for somebody who maybe is, let's say that they are a leader in an organization, and maybe they want to start speaking at some industry events, you know, maybe that's a way that they want to A, build a personal brand in their industry, B, make themselves more marketable, maybe to go to another organization or get a promotion or something, you know, because once you get to a certain level of leadership in an organization, you know, speaking at industry functions can be one of those things that gets attention from the organization and starts getting you looks for promotions and things. How would you recommend that they go about that? Maybe they don't want to be a professional speaker full time, but they want to start getting some opportunities like that. How would you recommend they go about establishing their expertise to enable them to do that?
Yeah. And you touched on a couple things there that I think is really important, because, like you said, not everybody wants to be a professional speaker. Not everybody wants to be a full-time speaker. Not everybody wants to do a bunch of gigs. But the reality is like, even if you spoke at a couple of you know, trade shows or association events or some things in your world, there's a lot of benefit and value to that. Like you mentioned, from a credibility standpoint, from a networking standpoint, whenever, you know, we go to whatever our association event is, and we're looking at people's name tags, or we're connecting with people, and someone's got a little speaker lanyard to them, or speaker ribbon on their name tag, like, there's a certain amount of prestige and recognition that goes along with that.
Sure.
So that it can be certainly valuable in ways beyond just, you know, whether or not you got a check to speak at a certain event. So where would you go from there in terms of, okay, now I want to start, actually, I would love to speak at a couple things, you know, 2, 3, 4 things a year would be awesome in my space, in my niche. So from there, one of the things you want to do is start by even just looking up some of the association events that you are currently attending. There's a good chance that let's say a graphic designer, that you may be attending something on an annual basis or a semi-annual basis that either is something that your company requires you to be at, or you just know, like, there are a lot of similar people that are already there for, you know, opportunities or for networking or for whatever it may be. So they're probably going to be looking for speakers for that type of event, and they're going to be looking for either keynote speakers or workshop speakers. So what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to again, going back to the previous couple steps there, being really clear on what it is that you speak about, what's the unique topic that you have, and then from there, you can actually begin to reach out to whoever the event planner may be. And again, if it's in your space already, you may already know who that person is, but a lot of times people won't think of you if they don't know that this is a service that you actually provide. So I'll give you a quick example. A few years ago, I was kind of intrigued in doing some coaching, and I was like, but I don't really get many inquiries for coaching, something I'd like to do more of. And so we added a page on our website and promoted it a little bit, and all of a sudden we had all these coaching inquiries and had a bunch of people who were saying, I didn't even know this was something that you offered. And the simple point is, like, people don't know that you offer it if you don't tell them that you offer it. So there's plenty of people who may be interested in having you speak at their event or their association event or their trade show or their workshop or whatever, who say, you'd be great. I didn't even know that you spoke. I didn't even know this is something that you're interested in. So you have to begin to let people know that you are interested in it and that you would be, you know, a good fit. And especially if this is an event that you've attended in the past, then you probably have a good idea of what the other topics are that they are typically bringing in speakers to talk about. Again, whether that's a breakout or a workshop or a seminar or a keynote or whatever it may be, you already know what some of those options and opportunities may be. But then it's beginning to reach out to them and connect the dots of how you can best help.
Yeah, I encourage anyone who is in that position where you think, hey, I have industry expertise, I have a unique perspective to bring to my industry. I encourage you to explore this. And you may think, well, who am I to do that? Well, most of the people on stage at these events are thinking the exact same thing, but they overcome that hurdle. And there are tremendous benefits to becoming a voice in your industry. Like Grant said, they go beyond just, maybe getting paid to speak somewhere. Because at some of these industry events, you won't get paid, right? It's not about that. It's about increasing your brand, getting your point of view out there, beginning to show your value to the organization. And frankly, also about honing your perspective as an internal leader of the organization. If you're out there speaking, you have to get really clear about what you want to say, and that'll hone your leadership as well.
Yeah, and one other quick thought here for those that are interested, speaking can also be really great lead generation for other parts of your business. So if you offer some type of, consulting or service-based business, speaking can be a great way to pick up new clients. If you're speaking to the right audience and it is filled with prospective clients there, and you're not paid anything, but as a result of it, you pick up, one, two, three clients out of it that are worth, several thousand dollars, all of a sudden, like, speaking can be extremely lucrative just from a lead gen standpoint. And so we have, Todd, you and I both have a lot of friends who do that, who basically have become really, really good speakers, who are paid to speak, but use speaking as a platform for lead generation for another part of their business. So it actually becomes paid lead generation for them, where someone is paying them to generate leads. So it can be a really big win in that way too.
Absolutely. Well, Grant, the book is called The Successful Speaker. If people want to learn more about you and the Speaker Lab, where can they go?
Yeah, everything that we do is over at thespeakerlab.com, thespeakerlab.com. We have a podcast by the same name, The Speaker Lab podcast, that you have been a guest on. So lots of good insights for anyone interested in speaking. And again, like you said, the book is The Successful Speaker, so check it out.
Fantastic. Well, Grant Baldron, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.